Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. There are things in life that kill us, that destroy the abundant life that God desires for us. In this series, we'll explore an ancient list called the seven deadly sins. That's what sin does. It kills us by taking away from the very life that God intended. These seven sins are serious and have the power to rob us of life, joy, happiness, and meaning. In this series, it's our hope that you'll become more aware of those things that hurt us and find a way toward that incredible life that God has prepared for us. And if you'd like to join us for services or learn more about us, check us out at pccwire.org.
Let's pray. God, we come here to get a good picture of what's going on in our lives, because we want to serve you the most effectively we can. We want to represent Jesus. That's what we want. And if there's anything in our lives, any anger issues in our lives that keep us from doing that, God, use this time just to convict us, to help us get in touch. In Jesus' name, amen. Pat Dwyer was the first woman police officer on the Corona Police Department in California, where I served. She was just a wonderful young lady, and her family was just young. She had two children. One was a teenager. The teenager, John, loved to race, so they went over a few miles away to a race one night. And John wrecked his bike, got hurt, and so they loaded him in their van, and they took off down the road to the hospital. Well, the outside lane, there was a guy just kind of creeping along, going slow, and so Jim flashed his lights, and the guy just went slower. And so he finally got a chance to pull out and go around, and it became a whole road rage thing, because the guy then speeds up, comes alongside, and he fires a single shot in the side of the van and hit Pat in the head. And she died immediately. A senseless act over something that didn't matter. An angry road rager. I am glad to tell you that they were apprehended, and they were brought to justice. But you know, when you think about that in the scheme of things, it just didn't matter what they got so outraged about. And you know, we see this all the time, don't we? At school, at work, at the store, especially driving. People are just angry about things that really, in the scale of things, doesn't matter that much. Now, anger that kills, it's the small flashes of anger that we have, that really doesn't lead to anything. But anger that kills is the disorderly outburst of emotions connected with an inordinate desire for control or for getting even. And that's the anger that leads to killing. Now, how do we get there? Because that just doesn't happen overnight. How do we get there? I want to define anger. It's been defined like this. All anger is based in fear, because personal boundaries have been violated. I want you to think about this. You become afraid because your personal boundaries are violated. Now, before I go any further, and before I suggest what those boundaries are, I just want to tell you about a friend of mine, Roger Barrier. He's the pastor of Casas Adobe Baptist Church. Almost everybody in town kind of knows Casas and knows Roger. Been there forever, but he has admitted to his congregation and to pastors when I've been in his midst with them that he had a huge anger problem but didn't even know it or recognize it. He was an angry man. A counselor finally said to him, "Roger, do you realize how angry you are?" And he said, "Who, me? I'm a pastor. I'm a nice guy." And this counselor said, "I want you to get a book. It's called the Anger Book. And by the way, I've suggested this in counseling many, many times. And Roger got that book. He began studying it, reading it, and he just came to the realization that he, who didn't think he was angry, was indeed at the very core an angry man. I'd like to suggest that most of us are more angry than we realize. And in preparing for this message, I've been working at it over the last few weeks, and I have stopped to analyze why I am so angry. I get that way maybe a dozen times a day. And I'll bet you do too. And sometimes we don't realize it. We don't think about it. You see, anger is an intent to preserve four things. I'm just going to put them all up here. It's an intent to preserve personal worth. See, if we feel like we're being marginalized, if we feel like somebody is picking on us, I was in the store the other day, and a mom said to her little son, "You stupid fool." Can you imagine that? And this little guy looks up and he doesn't quite know what to do. But anytime somebody kind of attacks us, especially our personal worth, if they just kind of shun us. And then essential needs. You know, we all need to be loved. We all need to be understood. We all need to be treated fairly. And when those things don't happen, we can get angry. Just think about it and catch yourself doing that. Selfish expectations. That, I think, is the biggest one of all. I want it my way. I want to control. I want to be the one who figures things out. And when it doesn't go my way, boom. We were traveling when I was working on this message back in Nebraska. I wanted to take Sandy's picture, and she wouldn't let me. I was ticked. Why was I so ticked? Because I wanted to control the situation. That later on that afternoon, I'm on the phone with Delta. And I go through all of this stuff. Do you know how hard it is to get a human being? And finally I get this thing that says, "A human being is not very far away." Well, that's my paraphrase of it. And I'm listening, and guess what happens? I lose the call. Boom, drops the call. Well, I'm already halfway there. So I do it again, go through all the stuff, get there, and I'm listening to the music, you know, and the talk, and waiting. And after all of that, I get somebody from, I don't know, Sri Lanka or somewhere that I could hardly understand. I got off the call. And I said, "Sandy, help me analyze this. Why was I so angry?" Well, because it wasn't going my way. I had expectations that I ought to get it done like this. Just this morning, I was going to the airport. My daughter was taking me to the airport, and the car in front had two ways it could go, and it was really hesitant. And finally, they went this way, and she just about rear-ended this person, and she honked her horn, and of course, she got the salute. You know what that is, don't you? What was going on with that? Now, sometimes we get angry because our basic convictions are being violated. And you know, I think Christ followers, people who have a handle on the transcendent convictions of God, really have to wrestle with this one. Because you see, we see things going on all of the time that are so contrary to the will of God and to the Word of God that we just don't know what to do with it. You know, the young woman who has had two abortions and then she comes to the Lord and gets a really strong, deep conviction about that. And she has such a hard time dealing with anything that has to do with that subject. I've known people who were smokers and then they stopped smoking and got to understanding what damage that was doing to their system. And at the smell of smoke, they can just go into a rage. Just makes them mad. And by the way, while it's understandable that we get angry when basic convictions are being so abused and violated. If we're not careful, this is the very one that causes us to become really judgmental. You see? I was reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, when they were having a quarrel over whether you should eat meat offered to idols or not. And here this was, a great division, and some people were really angry that Christians were eating meat offered to idols. And I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. Paul says, regarding this issue about eating meat offered to idols, everybody thinks they have the right answer. But what we really need here is a little love. See? So I have identified with this one. I understand that. Now, the question is anger good or bad? Well, anger is clearly an emotion that we all have, and somebody has called anger a warning light. And the answer to is it good or bad really depends upon what you're angry about and how you then handle it. Because you see, we can spend a lot of our lives being angry about things that really don't matter. And then there are other things that do matter. Now the question then is, how do we handle our anger? So I'm going to talk about three unhealthy choices. I think we can identify with these, and I wouldn't say that I do all of these all of the time, but man, I do choose these sometimes. The first one is suppressed anger. I don't want to be known as an angry person. You know, some people grew up paying the price for expressing any kind of anger, and so they're not about to do that, and so they repress it. And of course, if you struggle with moodiness and if you struggle with depression, that may be a part of all that. So you give the impression that everything is okay when on the inside you're just pushing all this down. Now there's another way that's similar. It's passive aggression. I feel angry, but I'm passive about it, and then I turn around and do something very aggressive. And nothing can hurt a marriage more than this one. You just kind of go along, you say, because again, you don't want to be known as an angry person. You want to be the kind of that shouts, and you don't want to be the kind that gets into it all the time. And so you kind of go along, and then you turn around and sabotage the whole deal. Well, there's another one, open aggression. You know, all of these do eventually lead to open aggression, where we just openly are angry and defiant, and we don't care who we hurt. We don't care how it affects the other person. We are just going to let it all out. I was trying to figure out how, when I get the angriest and when I exhibit open aggression. I'm not a very angry person, I think, see. But I get angry at a lot of little things. Open aggression. I'll tell you when I am openly aggressive, when my dog doesn't mind. That poor little, I got a little Oscar Mayer wiener dog, you know? That's his name, Oscar. And when he does things on the carpet, man, I can go into a rage. When my kids were at home and I would get angry at the dog, they would look at me and they would just about freak out because they've never seen me that angry. I wanted to kill the dog, you know? Well, you see, it's this kind of open aggression that leads to things like road rage, and that leads to other things that injure and harm people. And see, when a group of people come together with this kind of open aggression, you have gangs and you have wars. So here are three kinds of unhealthy choices. None of these choices resolve anything or end up in anything that is really healthy or helpful. They don't build relationships. They are not honoring Jesus. It's kind of like Mount St. Helen, you know? It just erupts. Now I want to talk about three healthy choices. And this is where I want to spend a little bit of time in the Word, because the Word has so much to say. The first choice is assertive anger. This is a healthy way to express anger. But by the way, Jesus got angry, you know. It doesn't mean that anger is good or bad. It depends upon how you choose to express it. When I assert myself, I speak up for what I feel. The Bible calls it speaking the truth in love. By the way, open your Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It's on page 828, if in the Pew Bible, and maybe your Bible too. But Ephesians 4. The little phrase, speaking the truth in love, appears in verse 15, but it's verse 26 I want us to take a look at. It says, in your anger, what? Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Isn't that an interesting idea? And it is through anger that the devil can really get a foothold in our life. But you see, when we admit our anger and we express our anger in such a way that we don't hurt the other person or we don't damage the other person, and we leave the door open for love to continue, what a positive way to express it. See, this kind of honesty and this kind of responsibility for what I'm feeling and expressing it in a way that doesn't hurt others or is not intended to hurt others really helps relationships develop and helps relationships grow. If you want to know how to help relationships grow, this is the way to do it. Now, we have talked for years at Pantano among the staff and among the elders that one of the values that we hold dear is speaking the truth in love. You know why Glenn and I have had such a good relationship? We've been able to do that with each other. And it's just so refreshing to know that I'm going to hear what I need to hear from a brother I trust and love. And it's not going to be said around anybody's back or to anybody else. And I hope that we have developed that value so strongly among our staff and among our elders and among our leaders that anything other than that is so out of place that it's just like a red flag. Now, the other one is just dropping anger, and this is probably the most difficult one to do. But you see, it is a response. It is a choice I have. I can choose to drop my anger. When I come face to face with the fact that I cannot control this situation, and that I have limitations, and that people have such differences in the way they approach things, that I finally come to the place that not only am I willing to accept the differences, I'm willing to offer forgiveness. And we've said so much about forgiveness. But I'm thinking of Mary, who's had such a difficult time with her husband, and finally she comes to the place that she realizes that her expectations will never be met by him. He just doesn't have the capacity. It's not in him. And she accepts his limitations, and she offers her forgiveness, and for the first time, she's able to have a relationship with him. Or here's Tom, who has been so desperately hurt by his wife who left him and divorced him and has gone her way, and he is harboring this resentment that is so deep it just defines him. And finally, he gets a hold. And I think this is a spiritual process for sure. Maybe he heard a message recently, or he gets a hold of the fact that he is hurting himself more than anybody else, and that it is time to drop it. It's time to let go. I know people who, to this day, as adults, are harboring this resentment against their father because he wasn't the father they wanted, or against their mother because she wasn't the mother they wanted. And there comes a point at which we just decide that other people have limitations and that our expectations are not always going to be met, and we, for our own sake, so that Christ can shine through us better, have got to come to the place where we just say, I forgive. Now, well, let's read. Before we get to that one, let's read Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, because this expresses it better than I could. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Verse 31 is just simply telling us to put it away. Drop it. And in its place, we become forgiving. We become compassionate. Then there's something called world-changing anger. In Mark, the third chapter, the first seven verses, you can turn there if you want. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell you the story. Jesus is about to heal a man with a withered hand, and he's got the religious authorities, who are so negative and so critical and so legalistic, looking on to see if he's not going to make a misstep so they can go after him. And Jesus is well aware of this. He knows their hard hearts. He knows that they're waiting for him to do something on the Sabbath day, which he's not supposed to do in their mind. And verse 5 says, and Jesus got angry. Wow. Now, in the Greek tense in which that was written, this kind of anger is an anger that comes and then it leaves. But you see, Jesus was identifying the fact that here was a man who's being marginalized. Here was a man who was being looked down on. Here was injustice taking place of the most severe kind. And Jesus saw a cause to get angry about, something larger than himself, something to which he was willing to give himself to. And you know, I don't have any idea what the motives of Jesus were. They had to be pure. But, you know, if I was him, I would have just smirked at them and healed him anyway, see? But that's what he did. He healed this man with the withered hand right in the middle of all their protests, and it made him so mad. So you see, Jesus found this righteous cause that made him angry. I wrote a couple of quotes down, and I want to get them just right. Anger may be righteous when it is aroused against evil for the sake of justice. Now, why do I get angry? Why do you get angry? Most of the time, I get angry over picking stuff that doesn't matter. We've already talked about that. Then you ought to hear me what rail against the referees at a U of A basketball game. I would be ashamed to have a microphone there sometimes. I mean, I can't boo. I can't bring myself to boo. But I can make a whole lot of other noises that sound worse than that, see? And so I can get angry at things that really don't matter. So what makes you angry? Are there things out there that you look at and you say, man, somebody ought to do something about that? Have you ever thought that maybe the somebody is you? Maybe you ought to do something about that. I believe that a lot of people's calling, a lot of people's life mission is shaped sometimes by what makes them angry. And they take that anger and they channel it into healing and restoration. They channel it into things that make our world better, that make our world different. Have you ever thought about that? Think about that. That's where I really want you to land. I want you to concentrate on how you take the things that frustrate you and make you angry and say, I, in Jesus' name, want to bring about some healing and some restoration. Now, I've got two so what's that I want to leave you with. The first is this. Choose self-control, expressed in humility and patience when you have the opportunity to get angry, and you will have an opportunity to get angry. I want to give you a project. I want you to do the project I've been doing since I've been working on this message. I want you to catch yourself in the act of getting angry. And that could happen on your way home. I want you to catch yourself. I want you to say, why am I angry about this? I want you to ask those around you, analyze this with me. Why am I angry here? Because you see, we have the opportunity to choose control. We have the opportunity to, in humility and patience, deal with the things that annoy us in a different way than often we do. I'd like to have you think that through. Why did I get so angry? Now, is it possible that next time I could choose a different course? Like Mount St. Helen, when it's ready to blow, could I just put a cap on it? Could I decide to be assertive and speak the truth in love without trying to hurt anybody? Could I maybe decide to just drop it? Before we go to the next one, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 29:11. Because Proverbs is full of things that speak to this. I'm going to look at three of them that talk to us about this whole idea of choosing control and expressing humility and patience. Take a look at verse 11. A fool gives vent to his anger. A wise man keeps himself under control. Take a look at chapter 14, verse 29. 14. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. And then look at 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so, my first so what is choose self-control. When we understand that Jesus became so humble that he left heaven to come down and become just a mere man, and he asked us to have that same kind of attitude, that really helps us with our anger. And when we are willing to express patience. Now, here's the thing I want to talk about. Channel your anger to practice sacred acts of healing and restoration. I'd like to ask you right now to decide what makes you angry. Think about that. I'd like to have you make a mental note. What makes you angry? The things that are going on in the culture around. Now, the next thing is, are you willing to channel your anger to bring some healing and restoration? Trudy was brokenhearted over abortion, and she started a pregnancy counseling clinic in her town with a hotline and the whole thing. And it became the first clinic of its kind in that area. And it has existed for years now, but it came out of her hurt and her anger. Scott, a guy in our church, so distraught over delinquency, especially of young men. And he got involved with a ministry here in town called One to One. And it's a ministry that matches up men or women with young men or young women, and as a mentor. And he started that process. As far as I know, Scott is leading that ministry today. Everybody here has heard about MADD, M-A-D-D. What does that stand for? Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. How did that thing start? Well, you know, a mother lost her son in a terrible accident, and she channeled that anger and that passion into something that has probably saved lots and lots and lots of lives over the years. By the way, I'm thinking that this could be a good way to start a life group. Six couples in Little Rock, Arkansas, in the Fellowship Bible Church there a number of years ago, were angry about what the schools were teaching for sex education to their children. They were so angry that they started meeting together as a life group, and they started writing a Bible-based curriculum for sex education. They went to the principal of the school where their kids went, and the principal fell in love with it and asked them to teach it. And the word got around, and before long, they were teaching their curriculum to virtually every school in Little Rock, and now their curriculum has gone around the state and beyond. Isn't that a great story? That's a great story. So maybe it's time for some of us to get MADD, M-A-D. It's time for us to make a difference. Make a difference. I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about that. I want you to just brew on that one, so that we could take the things that just incense us and make us angry and turn them into something that would bring some healing and restoration to our world, that we could genuinely make a difference. Today we're going to conclude our service with communion, as we always do. I just love this. I just love having communion at the end of our messages, because it gives the opportunity to kind of steep in what we've been talking about. Think about it. You see, understanding my worth in Christ is my anger sunscreen. Isn't that good? I got that from Roger Blumenthal. He mentioned that. I thought that was really good. You know, when I understand my worth, I don't really have to get all that angry for very long. Because Jesus came to pay the ultimate price for me. There's this great chorus, "There's none like you. No one else can do the things that you do." I could search for all eternity through and find there is none like you. When I first started singing that, I thought I was singing that to Jesus. You know, the guy who wrote that actually was singing that from God's perspective to you. There is none like you. No one else can do the things that you do. I could search for all eternity through and find there is none like you. And we come to celebrate the fact that Jesus came, because we were worth it in his eyes. God so loved the world. that he gave his only begotten son. And then offering. If you're here with us for the first time, we don't expect you to give in the offering. That's not what we're all about. But you know what? When you really believe in a cause, when you believe in the kingdom, then you start to give to the kingdom. That's the way kingdom projects get going. And so, man, if we get mad, then it's going to make a difference in the way we support the kingdom. And that's what offering is all about. It comes from a heart that loves to give because God has created us to give, but it also comes from a heart that wants to do what we can do to see that the kingdom flourishes. God, thank you for allowing us to take a look at anger tonight. And the bottom line is that we really want Jesus to be seen in our lives. We don't want people to see this angry, blustering person that's going around getting set off by everything that sets off everybody else. God, could you set us apart? And could we so capture the love of Jesus that we substitute anger for kindness and forgiveness? God, teach us how to handle our anger in ways that bring glory to you. Thank you for Jesus who showed us how to do that. He modeled that to the nth degree. And we are here because he loved us that much that he could even forgive his enemies. Thank you now for the opportunity to commune and to give. In Jesus' name, amen.